Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the churches in this town, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are just ministering in and through, Father. We pray for every leadership. We pray for every church, every minister, Father, Lord, that you would just continue, Lord, to build and to strengthen and enable them, Father. You would bring the necessary people around them to support them in their leadership, Father. And, Lord, that you can be, Father, Lord, all that you want to be, Father, through these men and women that you have placed, Lord, to lead these churches. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that your heart, Father, will be expressed and people will find you, Lord, in these churches, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'll just share something short. Ha, 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 ha. Everyone says. We've been talking about salvation to sonship, and we started right back what at the very basis, basic stuff of salvation, that God just didn't die for you to be saved. That's not what the purpose of it was. Jesus didn't die on the cross for salvation. He died on the cross to restore you into your family, to restore you back in to relationship with God. Into a son. Look, it's sonship. Every now and then there is the word daughter, but really it's sonship, which is all inclusive, men and woman, as part of family. Like understanding that you are actually a son and a daughter of God, and that you're not having to strive for any sense of need to be affirmed, or that you have to please God in any form. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. And the reason salvation is a gift to you is because it will bring you into this place of relationship again. And becoming a son is a choice. It's whether you want, here is salvation. And now do you want to come into the full inheritance? Do you want to accept the inheritance that has been given to you when salvation comes? Do you want to accept everything that we celebrated around that table of communion today? Do you want to actually step into that? And so we went through that we are adopted as sons and daughters, and that the Spirit of God bears witness with us that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that He is Abba Father. That's not about God. And we looked at a number of those things, and I think a couple of weeks ago we looked at the whole prodigal son thing and a whole different perspective, I think, than a lot of you. And we refer to it as the prodigal son, but it's a parable about a father who had two sons. And really the majority of the story is actually about the eldest son who was not the prodigal. And when you look at the most of the scripture of that passage, if you look at it, the bulk of it is about the eldest son who never left home. And his problem really was that he got divided the inheritance when the younger one, and he went away and wasted his, but the other one got given his inheritance. They both received their inheritance, but one son stayed and he served God. He remained a Christian. We're just going to talk what it looks like today. He did remain a Christian. He went to church his whole life. He never stepped into any of the inheritance or the authority or what God had given him as a son to step into. And when the other son returned home, and the father went out and embraced him. And we looked at, you can never be a servant. You can never be a servant. You will always be a son. And he said, I'm not worthy. I'll be a servant. It's like there was no choice. It's the finest robes. It's all of that stuff, and we talked a wee bit about it. So I don't want to go too much into all of that today. But this other son, he struggled with that. And the big statement that you will always read in there is just like, I have worked and done all these things to please you all of these years, Father. I have actually, it says, slaved in a lot of translations. Or I have served you, and you've given me nothing. Not even a goat. Killed nothing for me to celebrate with my friends. He still wanted the affirmation. He still wanted to be affirmed as he was actually an orphan. And I think last time I was up there to speak, because I wanted to talk about some things, I didn't address the orphan thing. And I did up at Darfield. I talked a wee bit about an orphan because, when we are an orphan, there is a lot of striving and there is a lot of frustration and there's a lot of things go on in our lives. And there's a wee bit of orphan in all of us, if we're honest. And a lot of orphan in some of us. And I listened to this wonderful man that we had here last week, you know, George Simon. And just you see what he was doing, and you know, it was just amazing to look at what he was achieving and what he was carrying, and you know, who he really was. And but he made a statement, and he found it. So he flew into New Zealand. He was looking to come to New Zealand, and it's been on their list for quite some time. So they flew into New Zealand the day before they come here, and then they flew out the next day. And I got an email, actually, from another people that never even come here, but part of the Helping Hands board from Melbourne, actually, along with some others. And it so touched them because they were putting a feel for the first time into New Zealand. Should we go into New Zealand? Will we be accepted? What is the state of the church and whatever? And we so embraced them, and you gave a lot of money, actually. Here in Darfield, you gave a lot of money, which has sort of blown them away. They haven't got it yet because we're waiting for Donna to come home. Anyway, Donna's come home late last night. So, they just couldn't believe it. But he says when he flew in, and you heard him say it, this nation is a nation of spiritual orphans. He said, this nation is a nation of spiritual orphans. He could just feel it, you know. And that's what I've been feeling on my heart. And orphans find themselves serving. And orphans find themselves trying to do something to be accepted. Orphans are always trying to get their father's approval. They're always trying to get some sort of recognition, yet they are not connected. They don't feel they're connected, even though they are connected and their inheritance has been given to them. So when we break it down and we look at what the church looks like today, it's like in church, it's like, you know, I really believe God for these finances, or I was in trouble, or I hurt myself badly and I was praying, and God, you never ever delivered me, and here I am. I've served you all of these years, and all I've ever got is disappointment. You haven't healed me, and I was believing for you for to do this, and it never happened for me, and it's like, and I was in trouble and I really wanted you to be there for me, and you never turned up, and it never happened the way that I thought it should happen, and you hear this. And then you hear, you know, and then people give up on God and they leave church or they get disgruntled with people, and it's like, and then we listen to their complaints and we say, yeah, it's like God wasn't there and he didn't meet them. And you heard a wee bit from James. It's like, oh, I haven't got a testimony today. I want a testimony, you know, and it's like, God, where are you in the midst of this? And it's like, we pray and it's like, oh, I prayed and it never happened. It's like, come on, God, I prayed and it never happened. And I've served you all of these years and you've given me nothing. That's what he's saying. And I served you all these years and I believed you for something. At any time, he could have killed his own goat. And the Father says, all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. You just need to ask. Or you just need to go in and do that. But when you don't realize that you are a son, when you are praying from the perspective of an orphan, or someone who's serving God for affirmation. By the way, you know, and I will get this. I was really nervous and you haven't stoned me yet. So please don't stone me when I'm starting off this. Because in this journey of salvation to sonship, I'm going to give serving a pounding. And as you've heard me want to remove the word servant from my vocabulary and put in the word listening, I can never ever, when I preach the word of God, remove the word, because it's in the Bible heaps of times. And Paul said, I was a servant. John says, I was a servant. Jesus himself became a bond servant and that. But they never served God. God worked through them to serve humanity and to reconcile people back. Jesus was always a son. He was always a son. And these apostles got to know who they were, their identity, when they found out who they were, when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And Jesus said, wait, 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 wait till that day. Wait till the Holy Spirit comes. Wait. And then when it come and those clothes of fire come upon them, and then there was a change and they were empowered and they knew who they were, and then they didn't care. They didn't fear man. They didn't fear the beatings. It's like they said, don't you dare go and talk about Jesus again after beating them and flogging them. And away they went, rejoicing and praising. They were counted worthy, and they just carried on, and they carried on, and they carried on, because inside of them something had changed. It's like, this is who we are. This is who we are now. We are sons, and we're going out to do some things for God. You know, we're going to reach some people and God begin to flow through them and amazing things begin to happen in their life. They begin to reach people and save people because the purpose of the cross is to bring everybody back, to reconcile people unto God. That's our ministry. If you want to see the Great Commission, go make disciples of all men. Go out. It's like, there's always, we come back to the Father. There's always the love of the Father, you know. And I'll never ever, it's like, I love the Lord. Well, if I'm talking Shane Willard, I have to justify that now. Because you can't say God is love or you or anything like that without actually adjusting the other side of it, which is, but he's not love like I think love is. We think, we say, well, yeah, God is love, and we have this picture of who he is. But God's more than love. And our perspective of love, and this is why we get into serving and we become orphans, or God is good, or God is kind, or God is gracious, and he's all of those things, but not in the way you think. Because we get stuck in a place of our concept of what kind is. Mrs. Jones down the road, she's really kind. And we have this picture of Mrs. Jones down there, and God is really kind, like Mrs. Jones down the road. I don't know what picture is painted in your head, but if you cross Mrs. Jones down the road, she'll chase you down the garden path. And so we have this kindness of Mrs. Jones, but we also know the other side of Mrs. Jones. So God is kind for us. Yeah, God is kind, but we know this other side of God that's not so kind, like Mrs. Jones. You see how it warps our perspective? God is really good. We know this person who's really good, but then sometimes he's not that good. And so then we say, oh yeah, God is good, but then we think, but then he's not that good sometimes. Because we've cultivated in our head a picture of how you have to imagine, if I say, who is God? If you all close your eyes right now, and it's just like, right, God is on his throne. God is reigning. God is supreme over all. What picture is painted in your head? What picture is painted in your head? For most people, basically, it's Zeus on a throne with his big thunderbolt. And he's reigning over everybody. You see? But that's not who. That's God. You see, we have a warped perspective, but it's like we've got to see something. Because we're focused on about images and that. We're living in a world. And so we have this perspective of who God is. And so God is good. And God is gracious. And God is kind. And we have all of those things. But then we measure that against things that we know and people that we know. And we know there's another side. And when it comes to Dad was a good dad, but I've seen this other side. Jenny will say, Dad was a good dad, but he had a harsh shovel. And he smacked my bottom with it. And it's like, God is a good God, but he's got a half shovel. You see? And it's like, and so some of these things rob us of really being a son and a daughter, because we see God and we get so close and we have a perspective that isn't truly right. And yet God comes down and he embraces. And part of what I want to, on the series, is that I want us to understand that God wants to embrace all of us and bring us in truly to a place of understanding that we are sons, first and foremost and always. And so part of, you know, when, you know, we have to ask ourselves today, am I serving God in a way that I need affirmation? Do I find myself doing things so that I feel good? When I come to church or I go out and do things, is it like, I don't actually feel like worthy today when I come to church. I don't feel like I've achieved enough for God. Is there aspects inside of you that, you know, well, I didn't read my Bible a lot this week or something, and it's like, oh, I just, you know, God's not happy with me. And we have all of these perspectives, you see, and it's like, and they don't seem to be much, but they actually cause us to withdraw away from God. God never withdraws away from you. There's plenty of scripture that says he's in your hand. There is nothing that can take you out of that hand. And then Paul talks about the love of God, and he says there isn't angels, there isn't demons, there isn't height, low, there isn't anything that can remove you from the love of God. Nothing. Height, doesn't matter how high, low, whatever. Nothing can take you away from the love of God. You see, we don't fully appreciate what the love of God is. We have a perspective of it. And that's why God is all things. He is I am. He is I am. And so I want us to, on this journey, just to keep focusing on the fact that, you know, we're not the eldest son. We don't want to be sitting there, and then he couldn't celebrate. And the father tried really hard to bring him in, to celebrate with all the servants, which happen to be angels, because that's what they do. They celebrate in heaven every time someone is restored, and is, they rejoice in heaven. And you see all of that in the same passages down along around the around that whole parable there, the coin and the lost sheep and all of that. You know, God leaves the 99 to go after the one. Just same passage, all there, they all happen together. These, he leaves the 99 to go after the one. You see, the love of God goes after. The love of God will search you out. Stephen, patience. The love of God searches you out. You can't hide in Southland. Searches you out. Sometimes, they've been on an awesome journey. I nearly cried last night. I woke up in the middle of the night and I nearly cried over these two guys. And then just as the tears just about started, I smiled. This peace has come over and smiled. And God just says, this has been a good thing for them, Wayne. It's like, let me be God to them like I was God to you. You know, you've got to go through some things in life that actually connect you with God. And then God comes looking for you. Not Wayne Watson. I mean, they're appreciative. I've gone and searched them out. But it's not me. God searches you out. God goes looking for you. God goes looking for every one of you. And if you feel that you're not in a good place or you're lost or things aren't happening your way, God will leave the 99. And he goes out and he sees the guy in the pigsty coming down the road. And he runs in his embrace. And we were singing about that today. It's like the arms of God's embrace coming out to us. It's like because he's pulling you and because this is who you are. You are my son. You are my son. My son. This is who you are. You are my son. You're not my servant. You can never be my servant. You are my son. And every one of us are sons. We're not orphans. We're orphans when we withhold and we pull back and then we say, yeah, but it's like I've done all of this all these years and you haven't met me, God. You haven't done this for me. It's like you've let me down and you've let that person down the road down and you haven't been there for my son or you haven't been there for my daughter or, you know, you weren't there in their marriage when I really needed you. And we blame God for all of these things, actually, when God's given you all of the things. If you understood who you were and come into, and I'm going to talk about this because when you know, he says, just ask. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, as a normal father, how much more will your heavenly father give the things that you ask? Now there's a key here. How much more will your heavenly father give to you? Now he can't be your heavenly father if you're not his son. Can't. There's a passage, bring up, Paul. I'll show you this. I'll just miss a whole heap of stuff here and we'll come back another time to this. There's a passage in, maybe I'll just tell you about it. You find it, Paul. People watch Jesus. It's on there somewhere. And he did amazing miracles. But they notice he went and prayed. And so his disciples come and they says, you know, Jesus, Rabbi, whatever they call him in that passage, teach us how to pray. Because you go away and you pray and you come back and you're different and you do things. And they got to notice that. So he says, teach us how to pray. And so he says this, okay? This is how you will pray. Our Father. This is how you will pray. You will say, Our Father. We're not going any further today. We're staying right there. Our Father. Jesus said, if you want to pray just like me, this is not my Father. This is our Father. If you're going to pray, you have to recognize him first as Father. Our Father. We get all hung up on the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. But he says, okay, I'll teach you how to pray. You will say, our Father. Because now you've positioned yourself as a son.
Yeah.
Now you've positioned yourself as a son. And we pray wrong because we don't come from a place of sonship. And so when Jesus says, Jesus talking about how much more, because he's talking about giving good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? You see, if you ask your heavenly Father, but if you're not asking your heavenly Father, but you're asking God, oftentimes you're coming from a perspective of an orphan. You're coming from the perspective of, I want this for my needs and my desires. You actually haven't brought yourself into a place where your heart is connected. You're praying from, it's like, I'm out here, but it's, Lord, I need you to do some things. It's like, will you help me to do all of these things? Will you bring me into all of it? And it's like, but you're not recognized. Now, God's not going to say, well, you know, because you're not praying like that, I just want to have anything to do with you. He wants us to come into a place of family. He's big into family. That's why he's hard on husbands who don't honor their wives. You don't honor your wife? God says, talk to the hand. Actually, he says, honor your wife that your prayers are not hindered. That's what he says. Why? Because we're his bride. The church is his bride. And he loves his church. He loves his bride. And so everything's built around family. And he says, you know, men, you love your wife as Christ loves the church. I mean, that's special for him. He knows and understands. I don't see a female God or a female Jesus or a female Holy Spirit. But he made it. He created all of that. If I had time, I'd go into some things right back in Genesis. We will get there. We'll go back there another day. But I just want to talk to you about some of this thing. It's like, I want you to understand when we're saying our Father, or when we're relating to him, like, if how much more will your heavenly Father give those things? It's like, is he your heavenly Father today? Or is he God? Do we pray in our heart? Are we coming from a place like, you might say it's a metaphor, but Jesus is wanting to communicate something. We can actually sit here and pray, Lord, or we can actually say God, and we can say whatever, really, whether we say Abba Father, Daddy, Papa, whatever. You know, it makes no difference. It's like Jesus is wanting us to understand, if we're not praying, he's wanting us to understand, it's like, if it's not our Father, if you're not positioned in that place where you are a son or a daughter, then you've removed yourself from a place of inheritance.
Yeah.
He said, I have given you this inheritance. He divided the inheritance he gave to one son and to the other son. And one went away and wasted it. Sometimes we have to waste everything to realize what we had. And then we come back and we think, well, now I'm not worthy. And God restores everything and embraces and says, man, I just, you're a son. You're my son. You come on, I'm not worthy. You're my son. You're my son. And all the stuff, not just a garment, not just his garment, that the finest garment in the house, in his house, in all of heaven. Take the finest, bring angels, bring the finest garment in all of heaven and put it on my son. Give me that ring that carries my name, my signature, my authority, which you understand in those days. A family had a ring. You put that on, it represented everything that the Father was. Put it on. It's just like there are some amazing things, you know, that if we can understand when God's talking to us. So he leaves the 99 to go to get the one. His love will search you out. He will find you. He will look for you because he wants to bring you in, not just to salvation, into sonship, into belonging. And then there is so much that belongs to, like, am I going to give you a stone when you ask for bread? You want your natural father? How much will your heavenly Father give to you? And in fact, one passage, it talks about the Holy Spirit. which is talking about all things that are spiritual. Amazing. Isn't that lovely? There's lots of things. Now, God's just an awesome God. And so I'm going to stop there. Is that all right? Is that enough for today? We'll pick this up next week and we'll talk about some more things. It's just for time's sake today, and we've got to have a meeting, and it's 12 o'clock. We're breaking all the rules, doing church for 2 hours. For goodness sake, what's wrong with you? Get a life, people. I'm being naughty now. But Father, we just thank you, Lord. Father, we say, catch our hearts. Catch your hearts. Holy Spirit, come and breathe, Father. Father, we thank you right now for revelation, just resting on our hearts. We're sons. Jesus always was a son. He came a son, he ministered as a son. It's not hard to minister from a place of lowliness. It's not hard to come down and wash someone's feet. When you know who you are and you've got something to give and to minister. He always carried the will and the heart of the Father. Jesus always says this, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If we're serving God, how can God reveal himself through us so that people can see? God wants to manifest, the Father, Jesus wants to manifest in us that people get to see who he is. It's a flowing out. It's a flowing out. It's a natural thing for us to come back and worship God. Nikki and I were just listening to a live podcast yesterday morning before we got out of bed, and it was Brian Simmons, who's just finished the book of Genesis now, Passion Translation. But he was just talking out of Song of Solomon. It says this: there's only one thing in all the world that actually undoes God. There's nothing in the whole world that undoes God except for our love for him and our worship for him. It's the only thing. There is nothing. It undoes God. It wrecks him. It renders him powerless. Scripture says. And he was just sharing this. It's like, whew. Steve and I were just talking about this around the table last night. It's like, oh, how do you get your head around that? See, there's nothing in the world that can come back to God and give him free praise and worship. I'm not talking about, you know, that God doesn't want our free praise and our worship. But he wants us to come, he wants us to understand the love that he has. I mean, how does our love undo? How does our love render someone helpless who is God? How does that? It shows you something. See, the English language doesn't have the words because it is so finite, and everything in this world is so finite that you can't put into words. You know, Bible sometimes is poetry. It's about pictures. It's why God gives us pictures and emotions and feelings, because there isn't words sometimes to describe what God is trying to say when he says, you know, you are everything to me. God created male and female. He created. He made them because he wanted relationship. He made us for that reason, to have that fellowship and that relationship. And there is so much more, you know. I'm not about connecting dots anymore. I'm about seeing beyond, you know, that everything that God created, actually created. And all the purpose and then all the doing of it. You know, we think, we know Jesus died on the cross. You know, the Bible says Jesus died on the cross before the world began. Now that does your head in. Not literally, because he couldn't do it literally, but God had already planned and put into place and had happened all of this before the world was even created. That's what Scripture tells us. There is so much that God had already done. You see, this world is so finite. There is things, it's like we've been talking about things all weekend. It's like there are sounds that you get to hear. Truth has a sound. Sometimes when you're walking through stuff, if your heart is connected with God, and with the Word of God, and you sit there and you're meditating on it, when you hear things that aren't right, it doesn't sound right. And then when you hear things that are true, it's like, that's truth. Because truth has a sound. And they said, God says, what is, Jesus said, what is truth? My word is truth. Challenge Pilate. Pilate says to him, what is truth, Jesus, then? What is truth? My word is truth. And when it sits in there, you hear truth, because truth makes a sound. Love has a sound. It's things that come out of your heart. We say abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But Father, right now, Lord, we just pray, Lord, and we just, Father, asking for you just to come right now and just to allow our hearts to be able to embrace the actual true meaning of sonship. To remove us away from the frustration and the strife and the uncertainty and the fears and the shame and all these things that attach themselves to us when we aren't truly connected as a son. Jesus had no fear because he was a son. Jesus had no shame because he was a son. Jesus had no frustration because he was a son. Jesus was never striving. He was never caught unawares. Nothing like that, because he was a son. And Father, we thank you right now that you are making our heart aware, Lord, and adjusting these things in our lives. That we can say, Lord, I just realize there's an expression here that's not you. There is an emotion here that's not you. There is something that is tormenting. There is something I'm striving against or pushing against that's not you. And Father, I want to, Lord, know you more. Help me come into this place of recognizing that I'm a son. That I'm a son. That your spirit will identify that I am actually a son. And that I will fill the gap, that I will see, Lord, here you are. Father, right now we just pray, seal it in our hearts. This week, Lord, let there just come, Lord, an understanding and an awareness of who we are, really. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hope that helps you a little bit. It was a bit rough around the edges, but we'll get back and show you some scripture and work through some things. And don't stone me yet. Don't stone me yet. You will see when I get there. I want to shift something, church. I'm really being really honest, because I witness with what George Saman was saying. My whole life it was about the word was serving and being the least. And we need to serve God, and we need to. And our whole concept through church and my whole upbringing, and for many of you, was about this is what we need to do, and we're pleasing God, and we're doing these things for God. And it's just like God says, I don't want you, I don't need you to do all of that. It's like I want you to accept who you are, how I see you. I want you to be how I see you. I want to turn some things around for us. You know, and it's what we knew back in the day, but it's not, we're coming from a place always of we're not sons and we're not daughters. And as long as we're striving in that whole servant thing and not listening to God, Jesus was about listening and not doing. He would hear what the Father had to say, and he would go out and then he would do that. And he would minister God's will and purpose into hearts and lives. And he'd done good things for people. He wasn't doing good things for God, his Father. He was being the expression of his Father in the world and in people. There's a huge difference in this. And it's a big shift for us. And I've been battling, not because when I poke this out sometimes, people shoot me down. Ministers and that. And I have a feel and I say, that's it. I just close off. But I find myself grieving in my spirit because the Holy Spirit's saying some things to me. Wayne, you're a son, and I have these amazing times with God as a son, and I feel like crying now. But I have these amazing times with God, and the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, and I know I'm a son, and I embrace, and I just have some weird things I don't want to tell you about that me and God do. And then I come up and I stand in front of you and I preach things, and my heart and soul just wants to say whatever, but I've poked some things out before and I've been shut down heaps of times, you know, just feelers. And I say, I think you mean this, Wayne. It's like, church, we are sons and daughters first. The Holy Spirit bears witness with us. Bears witness with me, and it's like, I feel sometimes a bit hypocritical because I'm one thing. Not a bad thing, one thing with God in private, and then I come out and I have to talk different for people because, you know, but we're cultivating ground here today. We're cultivating things in our hearts that hasn't been accepted in the past because of human perspective of who we are, because we've seen our fathers and we see God as a judge, as a ruler. We see, you know, we see Mrs. Brown, she's lovely, but there's this side of her, and we see all of those things, and they all measure up to be God, and then God's let us down, and that's really who God is, when actually, when I show you a lot of things, God isn't any of those things. I so want to show you something that God said to Moses. When God hid Moses in the rock and passed by because he couldn't show you, but do you know what he did? He yelled out his name. He called out his name. God shouted out his own name and said all that he was to Moses. And I sat there, you know, and it's like, wow. I hear this and I go through all these names and I want to talk to you about all of these names. I want us to see, because God couldn't show himself for all that he was. It was too much for Moses, so he said it in all the names. He shouted it out, and I want to talk to you about all of that. I want you to see who God is and what he wants to be to you, church, and to me. And it's like, and here we are, serving, trying to be the eldest son, and pleasing him all these years, and I've slaved and I've served. It's like, what are you doing that for? I've already given you everything you have. Everything I have is yours. And we're hurt. And we have shame, and we have failure, and we're an orphan. I've got a whole list here that I haven't even talked to you about. Told Darfield. I haven't told you yet. That we can look at and say, wow, I am an orphan. I am serving. And I see aspects of that in myself at times. But I want us to shift something. I want us to change so we can begin. And then God just comes in and it's like, you mean... See, if God is undone, man, I'm talking, I'm going on, but when we're undone, when God is undone, imagine what this house will feel like. I get snippets of it, and I share with Steve, it's like, I get scared of getting close to God because it hurts. It hurts so much sometimes because I can't satisfy. And it just takes into more. And it's like, sometimes it's just about cursing my flesh because it's like, get out of it. You know, I want it more. It's like, God's a jealous God. And I understand that. It might make sense to you, but I understand when God says he's a jealous God. But what this house would be like if we undone God. Imagine what God comes into this house and he's undone. Imagine that. and what it would be for us. And it's like, I see that and I sense that. And I'm not normally like this, Steve. But I want you to hear God's heart in me today. Not me, just forget about me. These are good tears, exciting tears. But I want you to hear God's heart, that we're sons and we're daughters. And if we could stop being a Martha for a moment and put all our expectations on people and what we think should happen and what things should be like, and sit and listen. Listen. When someone comes to you and says, you know, I'm doing this and this, just ask them. It's just like, you know, I appreciate that, but what's God saying? What's God saying to you? Get rid of the busyness of our life and sit down and hear God and worship God. And just makes life, it takes away all the striving and it takes away all the things. And, you know, sometimes I'm sitting there and I say, Nikki, I've got to get this done and, you know, whatever. And it's like, and I'm being a Martha and I'm running around and it's like, just stop, Wayne. And, you know, and then it's just, I mean, everything happens so much better. Like Nicole was saying, it's like, worship God. When you start worshiping God, God opens, He begins to talk to you. It's the most pure way of getting prophetic voice and songs, prophetic songs and worshiping. And I'm done. Let's have a cup of tea. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this. Amen.